Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The operator of New England's power grid is using a new method this winter to ensure our electric system can withstand the season's stresses and strains and operate reliably through the cold, the snow, and the ice. It's called Pay for Performance, and as WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports, it puts the region at the vanguard in the attempt to fix growing vulnerabilities in what's part of the world's most complex machine, the electric grid.
After a slow start, winter is back with a vengeance. The last few days have been a frigid mix of snow, sleet, and icy rain. A small taste of the bitter cold snap that froze the region a year ago.
Overnight, around 4 below zero, wind chills as low as 20 below. Tomorrow,
the brutal weather lasted 2 weeks, wreaking havoc on the region's electric grid and power generators. Snow and ice storms knocked out power lines and blocked deliveries of diesel oil and trucks filled with liquid natural gas. Fortunately, Braintree Electric Light Department was among the generators with a reserve of fuel oil.
These are the power plants here, and they're tied to the New England transmission system.
Bill Botigi is general manager of Braintree Electric. The plant has dual fuel generators. During last year's historic deep freeze, when demand and the price for natural gas soared, the plant switched to the cheaper fuel.
We can burn gas or oil.
Most of the time you're burning?
Most of the time we burn gas. We run about a lot in the summer when the weather's real hot, and there's plenty of natural gas in the summer because no one's heating their homes. And then we run quite a bit in the winter when we get extreme cold, and we burn oil then, which is what we've done for the last 10 days.
But even in good weather, operating the regional electric grid is a delicate balancing act. It's up to the ISO New England, the regional grid operator, to run the grid with near 100% reliability and manage the wholesale electric market so power is produced at the lowest possible price. Matthew White is chief economist with the ISO.
The power grid is a remarkable machine, and operating a power grid is becoming a lot more complex. The electricity demand is very sensitive to the weather, and uncertainties in weather forecasting create uncertainties in electricity demand the next day.
The region's competitive $7 billion a year wholesale electric market dispatches electricity over 9,000 miles of high-voltage transmission lines. The power is produced by 350 generators, large and small, a mix of fossil fuel plants, nuclear reactors, hydro, wind, and solar generators that have to start and stop with pitch-perfect precision.
And our major role at ISO New England is we serve effectively as a conductor in the orchestra sense in making sure all of those different producers play music in a mellifluous way so that it flows to all the homes and businesses that use it.
The electric grid must exactly match supply and demand, day and night, rain or shine, and increasingly with the climate changing, come hell or high water. Without the ISO, the regional grid would be out of tune and grind to a screeching halt. For the past 4 years, the ISO relied on a stopgap method called the Winter Reliability Program to keep New England's electric supply harmonious during harsh weather. The ISO gave generators a financial incentive to store backup supplies of oil and gas, just in case. The system worked, but greenhouse gas emissions from burning fuel oil went sky high. During last year's cold snap, in just 2 weeks, the additional CO2 from generators switching to oil erased 75% of the annual benefits of solar power in Massachusetts. The ISO discovered another problem. Some power producers didn't want to spend money maintaining plants that would only be used a few hours on just the coldest days of the year. So ISO economist Matthew White says the grid operator switched to something new, a competitive market mechanism called pay for performance.
New England is really on the leading edge, and pay for performance is really just the popular term for this accountability system.
Under the old winter reliability program, a generator who failed to produce power when ISO required paid a small penalty. The new pay-for-performance method ups the ante a lot. It rewards efficient producers and punishes broken promises.
If you told us, I'll be there and I'll perform to this level, but you don't, you have to make a refund. That's the stick. And the carrot is that the refund flows to somebody else who performed and essentially covered for your non-performance.
The ISO does the accounting. If a generator fails to produce electricity when it says it will, it can cost a company millions, says Dan Dolan, president of the New England Power Generators Association.
So this is a dramatic change in the market that is now putting a lot more risk on the power plant owners and their ability to perform, regardless of any excuse.
The Generators Association represents 90% of the region's power companies. All operate under pay-for-performance.
So if their transmission line goes down, the power plant owner gets penalized despite the fact they don't own the transmission line. If they can't get fuel, the power plant gets penalized. And so what it does is put a tremendous onus for the power plants to have made the investments to be able to run on the most critical periods of time.
The first time the new program was put to the test, it worked. But Dolan says ISO New England was partially to blame for the problem that triggered the pay-for-performance penalty. It was last Labor Day. The weather was a lot hotter and more humid than grid forecasters predicted.
ISO New England dramatically underestimated how much demand was going to occur that day. They missed it by 15%, which meant they had 15% fewer plants up and running in time to meet demand that day. So the system had to scramble. That then caused what we call a shortage event, which triggered pay for performance and penalties assessed on facilities that weren't online.
The ISO assessed the first penalty under pay for performance against the Mystic Generating Station in Everett for failing to produce electricity on that unusually hot Labor Day. The plant, the second largest in New England, lost a power line to its supply of liquid natural gas. The plant owner complained Mystic couldn't compete in ISO's competitive wholesale market and threatened to shut down the plant and its nearby LNG terminal. The ISO warned of rolling blackouts and convinced federal regulators to allow Mystic to operate outside of the market and charge $400 million more over the next 4 years for its electricity. David Ismay, senior staff attorney with the Conservation Law Foundation, says those big bucks would be better spent on renewable energy generators.
It doesn't make sense. We want to just take that same money and build something that we can continue to use all the way through 2050, not something that we're going to have to turn off or abandon in 5 or 7 years.
Today, New England relies on natural gas to generate about half our electricity. That's nearly a threefold increase in just 15 years. Confronted with a climate-changing future, state law requires generators will phase out fossil fuels by mid-century.
We're going to keep the lights on. We will find a way to do that.
Again, Dan Dolan of the Power Generators Association.
The question is, at what price and at what risk for the consumer? This is the old Wayne Gretzky line of let's skate to where the puck is going, not where it is right now. And we need to take that forward look right now.
Pay for performance could face an imminent trial by ice and cold. Meteorologists warn the polar vortex is breaking up, and this could be shaping up as an especially harsh New England winter. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Kellerman.